It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
I'm Martha McCallum.
I'm Bill Hemmer.
I'm Shannon Bream, and this is the Fox News Rundown.
Friday, November 11th, 2022. I'm Jeff Manasso, and as America celebrates our veterans, the men and women of all military branches, there is also a crisis going on in efforts behind the scenes to give our vets a powerful, unified voice to help prevent against veteran suicide and to push for access to health care and benefits for the heroes who've kept us safe. And many now who need us to keep them safe.
You know, there's no one thing that we can point to and say this is why veterans are taking their own life, but unfortunately they're doing so at a pretty astonishing rate. So it's imperative that we kind of take a look holistically at how to tackle this issue, and that's our main goals.
This is the Fox News Rundown Evening Edition.
Listen to the all-new Brett Baer podcast featuring Common Ground, in-depth talks with lawmakers from opposite sides of the aisle, along with all your Brett Baer favorites like his all-star panel and much more. Available now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Almost 18 veterans die by suicide per day, according to the Department of Veterans Affairs. U.S. Marine Corps veteran and executive director of Mission Roll Call, Cole Lyle, who was almost a part of that statistic in a battle on the home front, turning his experience into a powerful force for change and a voice for the American veteran.
You know, I grew up in Texas, and before I joined, you know, I knew I wanted to serve. I didn't know which branch. I had a now brother-in-law who was in the Marine Corps, served in Iraq in 04, and really respected him and looked up to him. And so he kind of swayed my decision to join the Marine Corps straight out of high school. I was self-aware enough to know that if I gone to college, I probably wouldn't have had the discipline to do well, and I didn't have the money for college anyway. So if I decided to go back, the GI Bill was going to be a great option. Enlisted in 2008, was a diesel mechanic, so went to boot camp, went to combat training, went to Afghanistan in 2011. That was the peak surge time under President Obama's surge. Came back and took a post-deployment health assessment, and it indicated that I needed to seek treatment for post-traumatic stress and some sleep issues. And so, I went out and used the VA system, and unfortunately was given the limited, options that they give to a lot of veterans, which is pills and talk therapy. It didn't work for me, and the pills, in fact, exacerbated some of my symptoms. So I had a suicide attempt in 2014 when I got out of the Marine Corps, was going through a tough time, had a rough divorce, wasn't in school, didn't have a job yet. And another Marine intervened. And so after that, I decided I needed to find a new way to address my symptoms, and went out and with my own money bought a service dog and had her trained, and that worked tremendously well for me. But the VA didn't provide any funding for that, and nonprofits that provide them had wait times over a year, which is why I, bought her on my own. But then I got into veteran advocacy because Congressman DeSantis helped to craft a piece of legislation called the PAWS Act, the Puppies Assisting Wounded Service Members Act, which would force the VA to provide funding for service dogs for veterans because it worked so well for me. So advocated on Capitol Hill, testified in front of Congress a few times, went back to school, flying back and forth. When I graduated, moved up to DC and got a job working for the American Legion, worked on Capitol Hill for 3.5 years, 3 years, doing veteran policy, ended up working at the belly of the beast in the VA itself, got out, and then nonprofit world.
It's really interesting. I mean, your need for help really transitioned into a call to help others, and I would imagine that is pretty life fulfilling for you to be able to do that. I mean, you needed help. Help wasn't necessarily there for you, but there were people, there were certain people that were able to lift you up and carry you over that threshold to a better life, and unfortunately, a lot of veterans you know, it's not there for them. What is the main goal of Mission Roll Call?
Yeah, Mission Roll Call is a national program. We advocate for veterans across the country straight to Congress, the VA, the White House. And we do this because if listeners go to missionrollcall.org, they can sign up for text and email polls. You don't have to be a veteran, but there's a drop down to identify if you're a veteran, veteran supporter, that sort of thing. We, as Congress or the VA or the White House comes out with policy that may affect the veteran community, we poll them, the people that have opted in, on what they think about that policy. And we're able to pretty instantaneously give that feedback to the policymakers. So it helps with making sure they have informed, making sure they make informed decisions on policy that may affect veterans. Our number one priority is suicide prevention. You know, there's no one thing that we can point to and say, this is why veterans are taking their own life. But unfortunately, they're doing so at a pretty astonishing rate. So it's imperative that we kind of take a look holistically at how to tackle this issue. And that's our main goal. So a lot of our polls have to do with, you know, suicide prevention outreach programs, with access to care and benefits, that sort of thing. Because the idea is if we increase the quality of life for veterans across the country, hopefully that rate will go down.
So, you know, when you came home and you were out of the Marine Corps, I mean, what was that like? What was that transition like for you? Is that one of the hardest things for a veteran, specifically a combat veteran, to do, is to come home and to try and transition into normal life?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, even if the VA statistics suggest that only 11 to 20% of global war on terror veterans are diagnosed with a mental health condition, right? So it's not even the majority of veterans that deal with these things, if you believe the statistic. But transition itself, like, your whole identity is wrapped up in what you're doing in the military. Not only your particular job, but like the unit you serve with, your peer support group, your chain of command, the people that you have lived with, worked with, and whether or not you said it out loud, agreed to, you know, maybe die with overseas. That gets ripped away from you pretty quickly. But then you also have to learn to adjust to a culture which is not similar in your civilian job, with your family. So it's incredibly tough. It's incredibly difficult for a lot of men and women who get out. And, you know, they're, like I said, their identity was wrapped up in what they were doing in the military, and they have to kind of find a new identity in the civilian world. And that can be really tough. There are a lot of resources out there for, you know, employment programs. Veteran employment is actually lower than the national unemployment rate. So there are a lot of transition programs out there to help veterans that are transitioning. Unfortunately, most of the successful ones are actually non-governmental. So, you know, the government needs to do more and has a lot of work to do on that front. But it's not an insurmountable challenge, but it is a challenge for sure.
And your advocacy for your fellow veterans, I mean, I would imagine that has taken, you know, your own issues and transform them into something that really is beneficial to you. I mean, how does that feel to be able to take a veteran who comes to you and says, "Hey, Cole, I need some help," and yeah, you've got the experience, the resources, the know-how, and what they should do, and take them under your wings. I mean, how does that make you feel as not just a veteran, but just as a human being, to be able to do that?
Yeah, it's incredibly fulfilling. I'll be honest with you, because of the nature of what we do, and because suicide prevention is our number one priority, most of the times, the conversations that I have with veterans are pretty heavy conversations, and that can take kind of a toll. After a while, you kind of got to take a step back and take care of yourself a little bit. But it's incredibly fulfilling because, you know, I talk with men and women that I served with, when I'm having those tough moments and being like, man, I just, you know, this is great work, but it's really, really taxing. And, they always say, you know, Cole, you're doing really, really good work, and we're really proud of you. And that's, you know, oftentimes what brings me back to, this is really, really important, and this is really fulfilling to do what I'm doing, to even if I can't necessarily see the direct impact, you know, it's important work that is needed urgently and more than ever with the suicide rate being what it is.
We're speaking to Cole Lyle, Executive Director of Mission Roll Call, a former policy advisor to the U.S. Senate and U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, and U.S. Marine Corps combat veteran on this Veterans Day. More after this.
And so when you got out, you realized you had an issue, you had some problems, you needed some help. You went to the VA, and they weren't necessarily helpful with your experience. You tried to get a service dog. You ended up having to go. You got denied, and you had to go out and get one yourself. How has that changed your life? Your dog. What's your dog's name?
Her name's Kaya. She's a German Shepherd. And she's got an Instagram, shameless plug for anybody who wants to follow her. But, she changed my life in a couple of different ways. One, when I was not taking drugs and doing therapy, talk therapy anymore, prolonged exposure. And I needed a way to actually mitigate the specific symptoms. So, I had nightmares, I had anxiety attacks, and she was trained to mitigate those symptoms. She'd jump up in bed and lick my face to wake me up when I was having a nightmare, do animal-assisted intervention when I was having an anxiety attack. So it was helpful from that perspective, but she also provided a sense of purpose that drugs and therapy just won't ever do, right? It's something that you have to get up and take care of every morning that forces you to go outside and exercise a little bit. And if you do, in fact, get to a really low moment where you say, this isn't worth it anymore, you look over at a dog and you say, the dog would miss me. I can't leave the dog. And so it provides that kind of backstop if a veteran gets to that point. But it took a long time to convince people at the VA and some in Congress, frankly, that it was worth trying because, it's not a traditional treatment method. And a lot of people that run the Veterans Health Administration and are in that space, it's the largest healthcare system in the country, so I understand why. But they spent years of their lives and hundreds of thousands of dollars going to medical school, learning these traditional therapies, and are reticent to really admit that these things haven't worked when common sense and data would tell you that they haven't. I mean, on the VA's own website, it says that talk therapy works 50% of the time, roughly, and that pills have a quote-unquote response rate of 60% of the time, but a complete remission of symptoms of 30%, but a host of negative side effects. So it's been hugely important for me. And I think as a policy, it's very important to try to look and embrace at more holistic approaches to tackling the suicide and the mental health issues in the veteran community, because it's an urgent problem.
So veterans who do need help, if they're listening, where would you point them? What's that door that you would point them to begin their process of seeking help?
Yeah. So if they're in crisis, obviously they should go call the Veteran Crisis Line and get plugged into some resources. 988 is the 3-digit number, and press 1 if you're a veteran. If you're in crisis, seek the help that you need immediately. Go to the ER, call the Veteran Crisis Line. Just reach out to somebody, talk to somebody. I promise you, you won't regret it. But if you're not in a crisis mode and you just need general help, right? There are organizations out there. America's Warrior Partnership has a national network that veterans can look up local resources in their area. But Google is your friend, right? Google organizations that are in your local community. Get involved. You don't have to commit a lot of your time, but I think most veterans will find that when they plug and reconnect to people that have similar experiences, veterans in their community, that it works wonders, not only for your mental health, but in all areas of your life. If you're having, financial issues, if you're having relationship issues, this is a community of people that you can lean on in tough times and get you back in the fight and make sure that you're here to fight another day.
Is that helpful when you see people on the street and they say thank you for your service? Just citizens, just everyday citizens, they see you wearing a baseball cap or a T-shirt that indicates what you've done for this country. Is that helpful to you?
I appreciate it. I mean, certainly I think there's a small minority of people that feel obligated to say thank you for your service, and it's not necessarily as genuine. But I've found that the vast majority of people that end up thanking me do so genuinely and from a loving heart, appreciative of my, you know, our service. And I'll say that if you look at this in context, where less than 1% of the American population serves on active duty in any given year, and 80% of veterans have an immediate family member that served, military service is becoming a family business, and the sacrifices of those families and veterans, the burdens are falling on the shoulders of a shrinking majority of American families. So anything that we can do, even from simple gratitude, saying thank you to former service members and their families for what they've gone through for this country, any way that we can express our gratitude is a good thing.
Well, we're definitely thankful here. And what can we do as citizens who are listening to this? What can we do to help further your cause, to be able to help veterans who need assistance? What would you say the number one thing that we could do to help?
Well, I would say for any listeners, go to missionrollcall.org. You don't have to be a veteran, but certainly if you're a veteran, sign up for the text and email polls and give us more feedback, or I should say give Congress and the VA and White House more feedback on policies under consideration by veterans. Donate if you'd like. But if you want something more local and in your community, just find a local community organization that you can donate your time or treasure to. It doesn't have to be a lot of time. You can donate a few hours a month. And it's certainly, you know, better than just posting something on social media and raising awareness. Like, just, you know, donate a little bit of your money, a little bit of your time to a local organization. Get to know a veteran if you don't. We're seeing disturbing trends of the younger generation. I hate to pick on Gen Z, but we did a research poll, which you can also find on our website, that said 67% of Gen Z either doesn't know a veteran or a current serving member of the armed forces. And of that demographic, they were the least likely to recommend service or to volunteer for service. So just get to know a veteran in your community. Get to know their story. Understand, you know, what they did. The only way we're going to be able to really honor their service long term is to remember.
That's Cole Lyle, Executive Director of Mission Roll Call, former policy advisor in the U.S. Senate and U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs, and U.S. Marine Corps combat veteran. Thank you for what you do for veterans. Thank you for your service. And thanks for joining us here on the Fox News Rundown Evening Edition.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having us.
You've been listening to the Fox News Rundown. And now, stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. Listen ad-free on Fox News Podcasts Plus on Apple Podcasts. And Prime members can listen to the show ad-free on Amazon Music. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com. From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Ben Domenech, Fox News contributor and editor of the Transom.com daily newsletter, and I'm inviting you to join a conversation every week. It's the Ben Domenech Podcast.
Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.